Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. I'm Allison Klein. We're coming to you live from the OpenStack Summit, and I'm delighted to have Margaret Chiosi, Distinguished Network Architect at AT&T Labs, with me. Welcome, Margaret.
Thank you.
So AT&T at the OpenStack Summit, that's an interesting combination. Can you tell me how OpenStack is having an impact in the telco arena? A lot of people think about it for cloud and for enterprise, but not as much for telco. So can you just give us a start there?
Well, what got the telcos into this space was actually the virtualization of network functions. I was one of the founding members of this ETCIS GNFE organization. And what happens is a few of us carriers realize that we should get into virtualization of our functions and all the value proposition that ends up creating. And so we ended up creating this whole ETCIS GNFE group, and it took off like wildfires, definitely beyond what we were imagining. We just wanted to get a few people together in the industry to talk about this environment and to try to nurture it. And so once you get into virtualization of your functions, you get into the whole issue of cloud orchestration. In fact, what we're finding is once you virtualize for the first time, you get into the whole cloud orchestration, you might get into a concept like service orchestration, but then your application's not going to move. Your network functions can move. And once you move, your access, your network access has to move with it. And so then that pulls in the whole SDN controller concepts. So we find that the combination of NFV and SDN together are really the powerful message there that helps us get to the realization of increasing the instantiation of services quickly or reducing the cycle time of instantiating new services and actually even creation of network functions.
AT&T has a wonderful, rich history of innovation in the telco space. I think everybody knows that. When you looked at the beginning, what are we going to do for our core networks to drive innovation? What was the reason for that? I mean, you guys had great technology that was working. What was the thing that inspired you to consider virtualization of the network?
In my talks in the past, I said sort of like three things. Cycle time, to be able to create services quickly, to be able to create functions quickly. And when you're very hardware-based and on these monolithic hardware pieces, to be able to do that vision of instantiation on demand, it's very inefficient. It's very difficult. And so by putting these functions, making them virtualized, putting them on a COTS environments, and then with an SDN controller, we actually can more effectively instantiate these services and these infrastructures quickly. Once you start migrating towards software, you can consolidate, we call it composition, you can recompose, decompose functionalities. Maybe in an industry as it starts out, you have, let's say, five functions, but as that market matures, you might actually consolidate and say, wait a minute, it doesn't make sense to have five functions, you should consolidate to two or three. And you can do that more rapidly in a software-based environment. So AT&T, because we're always into the bleeding edge new technology, like, right, we did the iPhone first and so forth and all the wireless, well, the iPhone then helped spur the innovation of the next phase and so forth. We actually embrace this new technology to actually help solve our problems.
AT&T has talked about very aggressive plans for virtualizing the network.
Yeah, our plans are 75% of our network by 2020 onto an SDN virtualization environment, 5% at the end of this year.
That's awesome. Did you think it was going to move that fast?
Definitely not. You had four or five carriers we actually met, and it was amazing the common vision we had. We just started running around trying to get vendors to participate and to join the conversation and to help us shape it. And we didn't appreciate how much attention it was going to get, not only from the market buzz, but then all our CEOs started wanting to see what was going on. It just captured everyone's imagination. I've been in the networking industry for over 30 years, and this is more radical than anything I've been involved in. This is so radically different, it's even captured the imagination within our company. We're creating new services. We have two services that are based on the SDN and virtualization concept. We have a service called NetBond, which allows us to connect our AT&T WAN to a cloud service provider's data center so that a customer can on-demand orchestrate compute, storage, and networking.
Wow.
But not just networking in a data center, but the WAN. Because in the end, to get to those functions that are in a data center, you need access.
Right.
It doesn't matter if it's cellular access or it's wireline access, you need access. And when that network function or that virtualized application, whatever, moves, that axis has to move and that customer needs to move. And so you want to do that in an automated fashion. So that's what our NetBond product does.
That's great.
And then the other service that we actually have is this service called Network On Demand. There we have a lot of new on-demand services that we're creating in our cloud, virtual CEs, things like that. And it's, again, this on-demand self-provisioning service from a network point of view of connectivity that now the customer can have.
What are the types of areas that you're implementing first? Are there areas where the technology is more mature?
So AT&T, as we're trying to get to 75%, we are looking everywhere. There is a continuum of what makes sense from a virtualization, what doesn't. Virtualization for network functions is based on throughput. Mm-hmm. And we have this graph that tries to show the continuum of zones of advantage of when it makes sense and when it doesn't. And it's basically this growing graph that has on the x-axis it has throughput, and the y-axis it has manipulation of data. So the higher the throughput, the higher manipulation of data, then you probably have to go to more ASIC types of development,
right?
Because software can only go so far. And then you have maybe at the low end of the spectrum, you have very little throughput and very little manipulation of data. And then that's like a no-brainer. You virtualize. Then you have this group of applications or functions that are in the middle, a gray area. And that's where you start having the discussion, do you virtualize or not? And that's very dependent on the use at hand. Every company is deciding, even within AT&T, every project as well as in the industry, every company is deciding what is their sweet spot. And then from there, they decide, okay, is the technology there or not? So it's more of where is the technology versus should we do it?
You obviously talk to a lot of members of the ecosystem about the delivery of solutions in this space. If you were going to send a message back to the industry as a whole on how to deliver technologies, what would you suggest that they focus on in terms of prioritization?
I want the industry to at least focus on these simple use cases and solve for those simple use cases. And then in the end, if we solve for those use cases in this similar way, then the industry will proliferate and innovate even faster. The challenge is when you have the concept of a service orchestrator, a cloud orchestrator, and a controller, is as you're instantiating that function and creating connectivity to it, and then as it moves, moving that connectivity, the specific flows of how the service orchestrator interfaces with that cloud orchestrator, which interfaces with that controller, and everyone's solving it in a lot of different ways.
Right.
And we're all over the place. And I personally am to the point, I don't care. I've been in this industry so long, it's like, I don't care. If we as an industry can agree on those use cases, which I think we can, because it's very simple, the hard part is, can we as an industry agree on the flows between all those functions? And if we can really converge on those flows, then this industry would just take off even faster.
For those who are listening online and are not familiar with OPNFE, can you tell us a little bit about the organization and why it exists within the space of network transformation?
So when we started the ETSI-SGNFE, it was a great start because we end up creating a common lexicon and a common framework for the whole industry.
Right.
So now the issue is, how do you get to implementation quickly in an ecosystem? And if you look, nobody was doing it. You know, OpenStack focus on Cloud Orchestrator. Controllers are focused on their little piece. OVS is going, right? Everyone's little pieces. But I, as an end consumer of this, and all users, all enterprise as well as carriers are consumers of this, we were all putting it all together, building it ourselves together, finding all the problems. And we started having a lot of these individual or pairwise NDAs with everybody. And after a while, especially at AT&T, with all the vendors we talked to and even all the carriers, we were actually solving very, very similar things over and over again. The problem is when it's under an NDA, you don't know what's public and
right.
what's not. Everything's NDA. But yet as a customer talking to everybody in the industry, you could see themes that were very common. So we were trying to create an organization that would pull together the platform pieces, the NFV, mm-hmm. that the VNFs would run on, in an open forum, but in an open forum that was going to bring code, an open forum that was going to actually deliver something that we could use ourselves to instantiate our functions. It's a lofty idea. In fact, I say the vision is world peace, except our world peace is to create a platform we all can use, but a platform that allows us to have choice. So the goal of OPNFE is to create an environment where we can get together as an industry to flush out the platform, to allow it to be customized by how each user decides what they want
right.
in their platform and to get it to work.
And then that allows for innovation within yeah. the industry, differentiation, but also leveraging all of that open source software and industry standards to get you to where you want to go. That sounds pretty cool. I know that Arno is coming out. Everyone's talking about Arno. Can you tell me what Arno is and what we should expect from it?
Arno is basically to build a certain set of components together, do some continuous integration testing to make sure it works. And in the end, the goal is to do continuous deployment as a first release. The goal is to take Arno and broaden it to be more flexible so you can customize it. We took more of the common open source pieces of the platform that were getting traction.
And I heard a rumor that you guys decided to name your releases after rivers in the world. Is that where Arno comes from?
Yes.
Well, Arno is one of my favorites. I keep thinking about Florence when I hear about your release, so that's pretty cool. Thank you so much for being on the program today. It's been a real pleasure. Would love to hear about AT&T's progress as you guys go on this network transformation journey. We'd love to have you back sometime.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/chipchat. And for more information on data center technologies, visit intel.com/bigdata, intel.com/cloud, and intel.com/datacenteroptimization.